Hello and welcome along to Northumberland FA podcast from the sidelines with myself, Gary Middleton, and special guests today, Charlie Bewes, Newcastle United, under 11s academy coach, Jack Sadler, Middlesbrough under 13s, 14s coach, and Isaac Gamblin, Middlesbrough under 9s, 10s academy coach. Great to have you all on from the sidelines today, guys. Charlie, this is your second one on from the sidelines.
Testimonial.
I was going to say it'll not be long before you get the hat-trick up, but great to see you again, Charlie. Yeah, good to have you on, lads.
Oh, it's brilliant to be here, Gaz, and have a little chat.
Yeah.
Hopefully Charlie doesn't take over today, so yeah, he likes to talk about that.
And great to have you on, Isaac, as well. Looking forward to hearing from you.
Yeah, pleasure to be here, mate. Just having a beer, contribute. Put me a little bit in before I can get in between Charlie and Jack.
Great, lads. Just before we get started, if we start with you, Jack, do you just want a couple of minutes on your sort of role that you have in football at the minute and your role at Borough?
Yeah, so currently at the minute, in the evenings and the weekend, my time's filled working at Middlesbrough with the under-14 group and sometimes supporting the under-13s as well. So we train three times a week and we play on the Sunday on the weekend. That's basically my priority, really, in terms of planning and delivering and reviewing sessions there. In the daytime, I work at South Shields Football Club with their international academy, working with like lads between 18 and 25 years old. So just loads of hours on the grass every week, loads of coaching and loads of reflecting, I guess, and just trying to get better.
Good stuff yourself, Isaac.
Yeah, similar to Jack, obviously based at Middlesbrough, in the evenings part-time. Train twice a week, predominantly with the nines, but do a bit with the tens as well. And I've been towards the end of back end of last season going in quite a bit with Jack with the 14s. Helping out where I can, looking to sort of try and get involved with some of the 11-a-side stuff and sort of put my input in where I can, really. During the day, obviously, myself and Charlie are based at St. Joseph's in Heaven, where we sort of predominantly look after the sort of year 9 and year 10 group, the under-14s, 15s, in our elite programme.
Fantastic. Charlie, yourself?
So I'm the under-11 coach at Newcastle United. We train Tuesday nights, Wednesday nights, Thursday nights, Saturdays and play Sundays. So obviously to work in the foundation phase with the 11s, kind of really striving to develop technical footballers through Newcastle United's curriculum. Through the day, as Isaac said, work at St. Joseph's Catholic Academy, working with a vast amount of students ranging from year 7 all the way through to year 10, both boys and girls, who get 6 hours of football training on top of their education.
Fantastic. Great stuff. Lads, it's great to see three young, passionate, inspirational coaches all working at professional clubs at present. What would you say it's been like for you guys on your journey to get where you are? And I would probably say how hard you've had to work to get to where you are at present. If we start with you, Sads?
I think for me, I started coaching properly when I was 18 with the foundation, if you can call it coaching. It was more like, managing behaviour with the Kicks programme at Newcastle United Foundation, and doing little things on the weekend, birthday parties and stuff like that. Then when the opportunity came to get into a proper club, it was abroad over in Dubai. So I took that, I went there and I just filled every hour I could with getting on the grass with different age groups in a more professional setting, looking after a team. So I've had to leave family, girlfriends, friends and all that to go to Dubai and Spain and just get as much hours as I can with as good as players I can, so I can, try more things and go that way. And then finally, 3 years later, I got the opportunity at Middlesbrough. So for me, it's been great. I'm just learning on the job. It's like, the three of us just novice, new to the kind of role. But it's not massive hard work because I kind of love it, So yeah. I think that's the nicest part about it.
Yourself, Isaac?
Similar to Jack, really, in terms of sort of starting age. I grew up playing football for Newcastle and things. And when it was like, right, okay, I'm not going to play anymore. What's sort of my next best what can I do next that's going to keep us in the game? And coaching just kind of fell on my lap. But for the first few years, it was a lot of, it was all evenings, voluntary work, working with sort of men, kids, all ages really. And similar to what Jack was saying in terms of it was a lot of like managing behaviours rather than like some like actual coaching. And it wasn't until I came into this role with Fast Feet where it sort of flipped a little bit to now I'm really coaching as well, putting as many hours on the grass. I think I was fortunate enough to have that background coming through Newcastle to have the right connections and things, to speak to the right people, to lean on the right people where I needed advice. And the job at Middlesbrough come up and I was quite fortunate to get it. And, you know, since then, it's just been putting as many hours in as I can, reflecting where I can, improving where I can.
Yeah, and Charlie, just we've chatted about this on a previous podcast. Is yours any different to the two lads? And I think from listening to them, it's around them real varied experiences that they've had, which have supported them in their journey.
Yeah, I think I'd probably echo what the lads have seen. Obviously, like, as I said, you know yourself, because I started when I was 16, like, with the Newcastle United Foundation, with a real broad range of experiences from dinner halls that are 30 by 20 Northumberland to the centre of Newcastle with 60 children of different ethnicities, and trying to develop my coaching toolbox to then being transported to a football session where it's tipped to be a Newcastle United advanced session, but actually the probably the quality of player is something that is not probably advanced. It's just how you develop your behaviour skills and engaging with children. It probably hasn't been till the last 18 months where I've really started working with elite players. So it's kind of been a long journey to get to working at the academy level. I do think at the start of my coaching journey, the lads will probably agree with themselves, you do chase that experience of working with elite players. But if I didn't have the experiences I did in the younger ages, in the dinner halls, in the schoolyards, working the 12-hour shifts with the foundation, I wouldn't be in the position I could be in now.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. I think that sort of that grounding of gaining experience, gaining the experiences that the three of you have all discussed there, just ultimately develops you as individuals and better coaches of having a wider knowledge base to deal with the different experiences that you maybe is coming across now with the elite players that you're working with, Sads.
100%. I think the value of, you know, managing a group of people with loads of different behaviours in tendencies, if you can do that with a group of four-year-olds, I can guarantee you can do that with an elite-level group at 16, 15, 9, whatever, and first team. The best thing as well is all the exercises, the tag games and the technical stuff. Again, you can adapt it to where you can progress it and actually apply it to more advanced players also. And then I think, like, as an individual, if you look at good coaches, their values and their beliefs as people, first and foremost, is then transmitted into their coaching. And you can only really get that by, you know, spending time with, like, adversity, really, difficulty in those little settings where you've got 60 kids, as Charlie's saying, or you're in a dinner hall with such tight space and five bibs and all those things. So I think if you don't do that, you're missing the trick, because the value is, like, you know, it's priceless.
Yeah, Isaac, just for you, I mean, we're supporting individuals here, whether we're, like Charlie said, in a dinner hall on a lunchtime session, whether that's volunteering or working for a grassroots club or a foundation, and whether we're working with elite players, we're trying to support and develop individuals to be the best that they can be at whatever they're striving to be.
Yeah, absolutely. I think whenever anyone asks me now what's sort of been my biggest sort of step forward to be able to improve, I'll always recommend going and doing the, you know, the grassroots, the big kid sessions in the small places, even if you can go and work with men. As you're starting out, really sort of put yourself out of your comfort zone. I've always found that to be the sort of my best way to sort of push myself a little bit. So I'll always recommend somebody goes and does that to get outside the comfort zone and really just throw themselves in. And it's like Jack was saying, now if you don't put yourself in sort of those adverse situations, you're keeping yourself safe and you're limiting your growth, really.
Isaac, would you say that your experiences, you know, as you said at the top of the call, playing with Newcastle under 21s before you moved into coaching. Did that help you? Did that support you on your journey?
Yeah, I think so. I think coming from that background, I had an idea of what I wanted sessions to look like and what a good coach looks like. And right, okay, I didn't like this, maybe the way that a certain coach maybe handled this, or I really liked how they handled this. So
yeah,
I was fortunate enough to be able to sort of maybe cherry pick a little bit from some really good coaches and see where they've sort of thrived and succeeded, and like, okay, how did they fail or not fail, but what could I learn from this? So I think I'm obviously quite fortunate in that sense to be able to really pick the brains of some real top coaches.
And I suppose, Charlie, yours and Jack slightly without them experiences that Isaac has had, but I get from the type of person that I know the two of you are, the amount of learning you will have taken away from observing other coaches on your two journeys.
Yeah, massively. I think, like, I look back to when I was just starting at the foundation. I was really lucky to have the connections to get into the academy and get seen. I think a lot of it is obviously your face fitting in the building to get in them positions, but also utilising your connections to learn. And if you have got them opportunities to go and learn after your day job or after your coaching session to stay behind and watch somebody, I think people should take advantage of it, because I look back when I did it, and at the time you probably think, oh, I'm just watching a session, but it might be a couple of weeks later down the line, you think, oh, I remember that session. I think I can use it to some benefit with the players I'm working with. And then ultimately your face is getting seen in different places. And then when jobs come up, hopefully they recognise you have a thirst for development, and obviously that's something that people want to employ.
Yeah, Sads?
Well, I think if you look at, like, top managers still, they're still searching and looking for feedback and they get better. Mm. And they're at the top of the game. So, like, we have no excuses, you know, beginners and, like, amateurs, really, of searching for that. And I think that's all you're really looking for is improvement every time. Just getting on the grass, looking at other coaches, trying things, making mistakes, but always reflecting. And I think it's like it's a never-ending process, that, you know, that even as a beginner you're doing so much and with so much intensity because you have to. Unfortunately, you need to build credibility. But even when you do get that credibility, I think you've still got to keep doing that. You know, you've got to keep getting better.
Yeah, just moving on, lads. I mean, what would you say would be the positives of being a young coach that supported you on your journeys, you know, that sort of helped you along the way to get to where you are at at quite a young age, Isaac?
I think the tools we've got at our disposal really now. I think if you look back at sort of 20, 30 years ago, young coaches coming through them probably didn't have the tools that we have available us now. So, you know, your social medias and your online forums and stuff like this, really, the podcasts and everything. I think the sort of great source of inspiration of us for young coaches to be like, right, okay, I'm finished my day, I'm going to go home and I'm just going to jump on the laptop and I'm going to watch some sessions and everything else. So I think the things we have available to us now, especially sort of the social media side and everything, that I know personally for me, it's been a massive help to be able to, right, okay, I've seen this, I'm going to give it a go.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, sort of maybe, like you said, 10, 20 years ago, those tools might not have been available and they might have explored other avenues.
Yeah. Charlie?
I think I was talking to a lad at the foundation about this, who was just kind of started. When I first started coaching, I got paired up with some really, really good people. So the likes of Peter Jackson, Tony Trelthall, Andy Dobby, who like kind of like navigated us through being a young coach and giving us good experiences to lean on that I still lean on today. And now working with the under-11s with David Colgan, who's been at the club for 20-odd years, I'm in a really fortunate position where I've had the network around us to connect with people. But also, I'm looking at where I've got two close friends in work and outside of work, in Sads and Isaac, where we're constantly trying to better ourselves, both on the pitch and off the pitch. So I think it's just finding people that are going to make you better and push your standards. Because as soon as you go away from that, you probably won't improve and get to the level you want to get to.
Brilliant. Great, Charlie. Sads?
It's so important what Charlie's just said there about having like a almost like friends who are interested in the same thing, you know, so you can really delve in deep and debate and talk and challenging and get each other better and reflect together, really. And like Isaac said as well, all the resources that are available now is like, it's amazing. So you've got that. And I think also because we're young people, you know, we've got no kids, we've got no like mortgage route, you've got time, you've got energy, you've got no real excuse to just go and fully attack every session, every day and try and get better. Whereas if you're a bit older and life is also there, it's not as easy. You know, you've got to make big sacrifices if that's the case. So I think as young lads now, you've got to take advantage of that time because we've got it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Isaac, what would you say has been key to your own personal development to get you where you are now?
100%, I would obviously sound on what the boys have said, the connections that I've made along the way, and really using those connections. You know, obviously, I predominantly work with the 9s and 10s, but as soon as me and Sad started work together, you know, we started having those conversations and the debates and everything else. And I said, look, I'd love to come in and work with you along with the 14s whenever I can. That pushed me outside my comfort zone. It got us working with different age group. It's using those connections for me it's massive. It's so that's, I would say it's probably outside of, you know, put myself in uncomfortable situations. It's what's helped us better myself the most, really.
Yeah, listen to the three of you there. It's a constant sort of challenge and striving to keep improving what you're doing at this moment in time, and never sort of never being happy with where you are. We're always trying to gain that little bit of edge to ultimately support the players that we're working with. That's what we do as coaches, isn't it? You know, it's really inspirational to hear. Charlie, what would be the areas of your key focus at present to develop your coaching craft?
I think with the environments that I work in, I think the children are always constantly comparing themselves to the pros on the TV. So it's how can I shoot like Yamal? How can I dribble like Yamal? When I think back to working with the foundation phase kids, it's really building a coaching toolbox that's going to be relatable to the players. It's a little bit different at the school because the children are from under 12 to under 16. So it's kind of honing in on that real like technical detail that's going to enhance their game. So something that they won't get at the grassroots is the gap I'm trying to bridge at the school, at the academy, and we're trying to really laser in on making the best technical players possible. So that detail I'm giving them has to be elite detail, because they're in an elite environment. I think going back to what Sads and Isaac have said about the resources, I'm constantly looking to think, how can I collect more detail to give to the players? That's not trying to reinvent the wheel. It's just trying to top up my knowledge to make them players 1% better every time we train.
Yeah, Charlie, I think your point is really, as coaches, and again, you were on the previous podcast discussion, is being adaptable, mm-hmm. which you've got to be in your whole role as a coach at present, but being relatable to the age and stage of whatever the players that are working with. So yeah, there'll be coaches out there listening to this, working grassroots. That detail that you give the grassroots player needs to be relatable to where they are on their journeys.
Yeah,
really interesting. Yeah,
I think the game ultimately is game of 1v1s across all stages, but the phases that me and Isaac working at the academies at Middlesbrough and Newcastle is only 1v1. So how can I make this player better in a 1v1 situation across the in possession, the out of possession, in transitions, but making it relatable to their age?
Yeah.
It's a big thing to strive to get better on each time you coach.
Definitely. Definitely. Sads?
I think it's... you're obviously trying to work on it all at the same time, but I think the thing that I've realised the most, you know, most recently is my values and my beliefs, my standards and what I expect from myself and my players is what I'm kind of constantly challenging myself with. So when Charlie's talking about individual skills in 1v1, if I think about, right, what does that actually look like at the top level at first team football? It's not about making decisions. It's about executing a plan. And ultimately, you need to be technically able to do that. You know, because without that kind of technique, tactically, you can forget about it. So I guess you're always trying to make them technically better with the practices and your session design. So that's something I'm always working on. And then, like, no matter what age group or whatever it is, whoever I'm working with, it's talking with real clarity. Can I explain something that's really complicated to someone who actually doesn't know, with a real simple and clear, you know, articulate way? And that for me is like genius. When you listen to Dick Bate and Alan Irving on these kind of podcasts and their sessions, they've got that. That's a master coach. I haven't got that because I haven't got enough experience doing it. So it's just fine tuning something I can say in 4 words that currently I might be saying with 12 words, and I'm going all the way around the houses. So that's really my main thing, is like my session design, doing it with real clarity, and bottom line is making the players feel like they can make mistakes and they can express themselves. Because we all know, because we've all played and seen it, you play good when you feel good. So we've got to make the boys and girls feel good as well, you know.
So as we discussed adaptability there, is there anything you've got to tweak in your day role with the International Academy at South Shields to when you drop into your elite role at Boro?
Absolutely. I think with the academy, you know, environment, it is massively about the individual and developing the individual. That is first and foremost the priority. So all the time you're thinking about all the players and how you can get them better technically, psychologically. With the international lads, they're older. You know, we've got lads who are 25, 26 who are in the programme, and those boys want to win. Like, they're not satisfied with just getting better. Their idea is, no, we're getting better, but we've got to win in order to... So it's actually not just the session or the conversation or the interaction with the player. That's the word I was looking for. It's actually the process of the whole thing all the time, reflecting on the process. So as well as the coaching side of it at Middlesbrough, I'm also kind of getting good access into Shields, where actually I'm developing like a process of like game model principles, reflecting sessions, games, analysis and all that. So I'm really enjoying both worlds. But bottom line is, clarity, making the player feel good, and, you know, making sure that they're getting better. That remains the same no matter where I am.
Yeah. Isaac, just finally on you, just areas of focus for your own personal development moving forward.
I think certainly the adaptability. It's with Middlesbrough, it's really different, especially working with the 9s and 10s, because I'm in the school, I'm predominantly working on, as we said, with under 12s, so under 16s. Now, my planning can be real sort of in-depth and clear and everything, but then when I step into that sort of the younger kids, these kids are 8, 9, 10, I have to really be able to sort of not dumb it down, but really simplify the practices and the planning and how I communicate and everything. I might be going after, you know, how do we finish the attack? And I've planned for 10 kids and suddenly we've had two injuries, two can't make it, or we've got an extra two. How can I be better at adapting on my feet? Say, right, this is how the practice is going to change. We're still getting the same outcomes. We're still going for the same things. We're still making the same individuals. If, you know, if we focus on like an IDPD or something like that, we're still going after the same individuals, but we've tweaked the practice slightly. I think being a lot more adaptable for me is, it's a real focus for us at the minute. Mm-hmm. How can I really adapt to still get the same things out of the session that I'm going for, but I might suddenly have five more kids or two less kids, or... Right, okay, you might only have one goal. It's especially the coaching in the academies and in the schools where we run the elite environment, it's a constantly changing environment. So if I can adapt with that as well, I'm only going to make the sessions better, the kids better, everything.
Yeah, and I think, once again, people listening into to our conversation, guys, that being adaptable to reorganise what practice designs on the particular night, because parents are stuck in traffic or you've got an injury or you've got homework to do. That's constant, and that's the reality of the grassroots game. And I think we've got to be good at that as coaches, to be able to make sure them learning outcomes, whatever our focus is on that particular evening, week or term, there's learning taking place with whatever them numbers look like, if they've changed from what you planned for.
Yeah, I think it goes down to your planning in that as well, doesn't it? You've got to really sort of, I'm going to plan for maybe 8 players, but I'm going to have to plan for 10. Does the practice fit for 10 and 12 and 6 and everything? If my planning's sort of good enough and real clear and what I'm going after is really clear, then I can only be more adaptable on the pitch should something come up.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Charlie, any advice for coaches listening in, predominantly young coaches, that are looking to further their coaching journey and might have aspirations for to end up where you guys are at present?
I definitely think, as I've like leaned on before, you need to find a network of people who are like-minded. So as I've said, Isaac, Sads, friends off the pitch, away from coaching, but also great friends on it. When we work together, understanding like we want to all get better, but also go and find somebody. So mine's, as I've mentioned before, David Colvin. So me and Davey work together at Fast Feet, but we also work together at the academy with the under-11s, where I'm at the complete start of my coaching journey. Davey's been doing this for 22 years. So I've got real good broad of experiences to lean on. But I would think go and be yourself. And I think I listened to Jamie Williams kind of said to me when I was first starting, if you're doing well, the opportunities will come to you. Don't chase the jobs. If you're doing the good job, whatever you are, if that's grassroots, it's a foundation, an ETC, a development centre, if you're doing a good job, the better jobs will come to you because people know you're doing the job. And I think it's just probably around having a bit of patience. And I think I struggled with that when I first started. I seen people getting things and I thought, I want to have my UEFA B by this and I want to be in a coaching job by then. So I think it's kind of having real patience with your journey, but also understanding the power of a good coaching network to lean on, experience and session design, all the things that we've kind of discussed already.
Sads, anything to add on that?
I think like Charlie's 100% right, like your network is going to give you access to loads of opportunities, but I think you've also got to be willing to sacrifice time and travel and give up a lot of stuff to get those opportunities, to get that network, you know. And I think it's a lot easier said than done. So I'd say just constantly search to get better, learn from others, get, you know, any opportunity to get coaching, just say yes, go and do it, and no matter what capacity that is. And you're going to get better if it's a session in a sports hall with, you know, netball, there's transferable skills that you can apply. So just say yes and go and do it if you're really serious about becoming better. And just, I'd say, constantly chase that. And I think the network and the opportunities off that network will then follow that, you know.
Isaac?
Go and get outside your comfort zone. Yeah. Go and work with people older than you. Go and work with young kids. Work with girls, with boys, in different sports. Go and learn as much as you can. Get outside your comfort zone. Don't just be happy and safe. I'm working with the same players each week and I'm doing the same things and seeing the same faces and they know me and I know them. Don't get me wrong, you'll see some improvements, but really getting outside your comfort zone and working with those different environments, the different people, the different backgrounds, it'll push you to become better quicker.
Yes, terrific. Lads, it's been a real pleasure having you on from the sidelines today. Thanks very much for giving up your time, sharing your experiences, your knowledge. Three inspirational coaches currently on your coaching journey. So thanks very much, Jack, Charlie, Isaac.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Guys.